I stick with a change for maybe a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. I'm disappointed that I don't achieve bigger results, which, talking about our topic, it's unrealistic for me expect that, but I expect unrealistic results in an unrealistic time frame, and then I go back to my old habit.
Welcome to Real WW Talk, the podcast of three diverse friends, Candace, Aaron, and Ricky, who are following the WW, formerly Weight Watchers, plan. I'm the Aaron part of the trio, and each week we talk about our health journey on WW, what we've learned, what we struggled with, and what our goals are for the coming week. There's no hiding, no trying to make ourselves better than we are, just real talk, because we can't change if we aren't willing to be real about what needs to change. On today's Real WW Talk, you've probably guessed it, we're going to talk about unrealistic expectations we place on ourselves and our weight loss journey. You know, when we start a new exercise program, we expect to see an immediate loss, or we eat well for a week and then feel disappointed when the scale only shows a small loss. And that's what we're feeling this week. So that's what we're talking about. Are you ready? Let's talk.
Well, hello. Good morning. The Real WW Talk. I'm Erin.
I'm Candace.
I'm Ricky.
So ladies, how was your week? Who wants to go first? Who wants to dive in?
Go ahead, Ricky.
Okay,
say this every week. Who wants to go first? And Ricky always goes first from now on.
Really?
I think from now on, I'm just going to say, okay, Ricky, you're up.
I did not notice that pattern, but I am aware of it now. So Candace, do you want to go?
No, you take the lead.
Okay. All right. So I had... I was down a little this week. I wasn't down a full pound, but I was down half a pound. So I will take it. I'm not going to complain. But I made a point to work out every morning this week. I was very motivated by an Apple Activity Watch award. So similar to Candace.
Sorry, I thought you were saying you were motivated by an apple. And I'm like, hey, motivation comes in all ways.
An apple, no. Maybe like a candy bar or something, but an apple would not get me to do that. But there was a badge for if you close your Move ring 7 days in a row for Black History Month. And I was really, really wanting to get that. And I know that as many times as I say, like, I'm going to work out midday, if I don't get it in the morning, it doesn't happen. So I made sure I got my workout in the morning. Felt really good. Got to Wednesday. We've talked about this before. You guys know, like, Wednesday tends to be the day where I'm like, I want to weigh myself. Let's see how I'm doing. And I weighed myself and I was exactly the same. And I was discouraged by it. I was really frustrated because I want immediate feedback. I think that's the world we live in. I think that's what we're used to. And what I feel sometimes I deserve when I don't deserve it necessarily. I may have put in the work, but it doesn't mean it's going to show up the next day. So I definitely struggle with that and struggled with it this week, especially.
I think it's more than reasonable to expect to see the scale go down immediately because I had the same challenge this week. Only mine was I ate a salad. Mine had nothing to do with physical activity. It was I ate some vegetables and I expected that the scale was going to be down 5 pounds the next day. And guess what? It wasn't. One, I am personally not one who's supposed to be weighing in every day because I mentally have not gotten there. But then the unrealistic expectation that the scale was going to reward me for eating vegetables. And it put me in a funk. So I relate in a really unfortunate way that I have an unrealistic expectation that if I do what I'm supposed to do, the scale is supposed to follow immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't know who told me that. I think after the 30 years I've been on Weight Watchers, I just decided that, you know, it's kind of like if you do one day of counting your points and you're like, ah, I did it. Mm-hmm. You expect the scale to go down. So I had a 0.2 pound weight loss this week, 0.2. And I will not do what some people do in meetings and say only, and everyone gets that look of disgust on their face when you say only. So I will say I lost 0.2 while eating a salad. Bravo.
Well, I also think it's perfectly reasonable to expect that when you do track everything you eat the weekend and you know that you've gone into the negative numbers and you exercise twice in the week, that should be enough to counterbalance everything and not gain 2.2 on a Saturday. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
It makes sense.
Well, there's a reason why there's memes about this. Like, I mean, I know there's a billion of them, but it's like, eats carrot, steps on scale, scale doesn't move, goes and eats a donut. Like, there's tons of memes out there with similar scenarios. So I think other people are hardwired in the same way. It's just, it's frustrating.
It is. I want to bring back something that we talked about last week real quick, because I think this is the perfect moment to do it. And I apologize if you're on the podcast, you can't see this. So you're going to have to come find us over on YouTube or the Facebook group, but it is the Bravo star. Okay. Because I'm listening to what we're talking about, but I'm hearing a lot of wins in there, even though there is the disappointment. Like, Ricky, you exercise this week, and not just exercise. I mean, even this morning before we got on and we're talking now, you've already done a Peloton ride for Black History Month, right? That's so amazing. Candace, vegetables aren't your favorite thing in the world. And the fact that you actually ate vegetables this week, and I think that's such a bravo. So I'm giving you guys my Bravo star for today.
I would like an extra Bravo star because I thought about working out.
Here you go. Here's the extra one.
I think the thought is the first piece, right? Maybe next week I'll actually do it instead of just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Step at a time.
So three cheers to us. Okay. But now, so here's the question. Does hearing that, where the win was in those things, does that change the disappointment at all for you? Does it change any of the mindset?
I think it does a little bit. Like, I think my pattern in the past, we're talking about the past, not the future. My pattern in the past has been very similar to what we're talking about. I stick with a change for maybe a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. I'm disappointed that I don't achieve bigger results, which, talking about our topic, it's unrealistic for me to expect that, but I expect unrealistic results in an unrealistic time frame. And then I go back to my old habits, which is, you know, track here, track there, overeat my points, don't exercise enough, or try to exercise to counterbalance, but it's not enough. So I think going forward, I am using that information, using the mistakes of the past to say, I need to stick with this. I need to stick with tracking. I need to stick with activity, even though it may not give me the results that I want, being like that number on the scale changing right away. Because if I'm building muscle and I'm, you know, giving my body what it needs, I may not see like huge numbers right away, but maybe my clothes fit better. Maybe I'm stronger. Maybe I'm able to have more stamina when I'm working out. I need to focus on those things and give it time and make it a routine rather than making it about the number on the scale.
And I think that I always go back to that quote that everyone talks about, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Mm-hmm. And I think that, much to what Ricky is saying, if I know that the mindset and the way that I've been thinking is causing me to be in personally this rut of maintaining and not really losing or hitting my goals, I think that I need to be able to push through and understand that these thoughts for immediate gratification, and then when I don't get it, me sabotaging my efforts because I'm upset that I didn't get something on a day that is so minuscule. Because do we really go back and remember what we weighed 2 weeks, you know, on Wednesday 2 weeks ago? No, but on Tuesday of that day, it may have been really important for us to lose 2 pounds, and it could have ruined my whole week. So I'm trying to remember that it's about the longer term picture, and that obviously my mindset has not gotten me where I need to be. So I have to be accepting of the fact that it's going to take time. because time is going to go on regardless. So I might as well keep doing what it is that I need to do, regardless of what the scale does. That's not the only motivator. That's not the only thing to track.
I feel like that I am in the rut where the scale is the only thing that I track. And I think that is because it's the thing that's like so forefront of my mind right now. And I need to work on my mindset. I've got to change my mind to the 360 approach instead of just this one kind of like what we would call the old WW mentality, where it was you show up, you weigh in, you sit down, you learn about snacks and tricks and things to help you lose weight. And we know that it's so much more than that. I think I am in a place right now where I am struggling hard with managing my day-to-day stress. I don't know what has happened since COVID, and maybe it's the work from home thing, that I, even just eating, like eating meals at normal times, like eating breakfast, I don't eat breakfast now until sometimes 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And I'm like, why, where has that gone? Where has my, where has my schedule gone? And the stupidest thing for me is I am in complete control of my schedule. Right? Like I don't have kids. I'm not married. I owe nothing to nobody except myself. And why am I not taking care of myself? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can be the priority. Why am I choosing not to make myself the priority? I mean, how do you guys do it? What does that look like for you? Are you guys on a schedule where you like eat breakfast at 8, you eat lunch at noon or that kind of thing? Or is it like free form? Like, because Ricky, you've been even doing, at least I feel like you have been on it for exercise. And for me to even do exercise, I could get done at the end of the day. Like, I feel like I've run a race in my mind that I don't have the energy to go do it, but I know that I need to do it because it's the thing that will help me with the depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. For me with the working out, I have had to make some adjustments to make it possible because I did really well. I've been doing really well with it, but at the same time, there's some days where I just do nothing, and I have not only have I not gotten on my bike, but I haven't done anything. I have 1,000 steps, and I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do anything. But on the days where I do get up, one thing that I did this week to make sure that I got my workout in was I set my alarm clock earlier. So I had been setting it for 6 and then rolling out of bed, maybe 6:30. I'm out of bed. I'll throw on exercise clothes, come downstairs, like get on the bike or do something. But then I need to be like in the shower by like 7 something. So I don't get in a long workout. So it's not really helping. So I set my alarm this week to 5:30. And part of that, I've been in denial a little bit about going back to work in person because I don't personally, I know everyone has different beliefs, so, you know, no one, you don't have to agree with me, but I personally don't think it's safe right now. I'm a teacher and I love teaching. I love the students. They're wonderful, but there's not, in my opinion, a lot of safety plans and backups for and justification for it, because the kids in my county are going to be coming in and still learning virtually. So I will be sitting at my desk teaching with my computer, just like I do at home. And 4 to 6 kids will be sitting at their desks and unable to move and walk around as first and third graders. So that's a whole tangent, but we are going back. So I said, you know, I'm going to be getting up earlier. I want to maintain this routine because I know for me, if I don't get my workout in the morning, even on days where I'm sitting all day at the computer, I am mentally and not in a place to work out because I'm exhausted. So I am going to keep getting up early, getting it out of the way in the morning, and it's done. And I feel better.
Let's take a quick break.
Are you suffering from chronic disease? Or maybe you're trying to live to 120 and optimize your health? Either way, the Your Health, Your Story podcast is for you. My name's Casper Schultz, and I've been traveling the world meeting with top doctors and experts in medicine and health with amazing discoveries that are making the incurable curable. I decided I had to share these stories to empower others who are seeking solutions but just couldn't find them. So join us for weekly enlightening discussions on how to beat chronic disease and live an incredibly healthy life that you won't hear about elsewhere.
And I think for me, I don't have much to offer, Erin, because I think I'm where you are. And if I'm honest, I think it's a habit of putting myself last and being used to not making myself a priority. I've struggled with more of the self-worth related to this journey. It's not really about the food and the working out for me. It's about feeling that I'm worth making time, I'm worth it to push through. And I just have kind of fallen into a slump of, I do have the baby and I do have the husband and wanting to make sure that everybody else is taken care of, you know, and me last. And I know all about the nice sayings about, you know, when you're in the airplane, make sure you put the oxygen mask on yourself first and everybody else last. And I'm like, that's great, but the baby needs something. I'm going to make sure he's okay. And if I get to me, I get to me. And so that means I don't sometimes get breakfast or yesterday I didn't get lunch. And I've just been okay with that. And it actually, it's hard for me to see other people who do have that self-worth or maybe that confidence of putting themselves first. And they're like super moms who are like, I got up and I rode on my Peloton and I had my super green smoothie breakfast and then the baby and I went for a 3-mile walk and then the baby had this and then everything was great. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, I'm used to just being good for you. I'm just trying to make it. Mm-hmm. And so I think mine is really tied to my self-worth of, am I worth the effort? And if I'm being honest right now, I don't really feel like I've been acting like I'm worth the effort to put it in. And that's the truth.
I fully agree with you.
Yeah.
I fully agree with you. Yeah. It's funny. I was having this conversation with my bestie and I was like, I feel like I'm a leftover. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly picked for last for things. I'm the person someone always thinks about second. Mm-hmm. I'm never the person they think about first my entire life. And I also think I'm a middle child too. So that just, you know, contributes to all of that. But one of the things that I started thinking about this week, and I'll ask the same question to you and, you know, whoever's listening, what would it look like if I were to put myself first? What would that look like in a practical way for me? And what is it that I want out of that?
You know what scares me about that? The people pleaser in me has always gotten the validation of others doing well and making sure that others feel empowered. So mm-hmm. It always felt very selfish for it to be about me and me making sure that I'm okay. I was like, how's that me giving back to the world? You know, how is that okay for me to be like, I'm going to take a bubble bath today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, make a meal when I really should be focused on others. Are others okay? That was ingrained in me growing up. I always have been somebody who really liked to give to others. So I think that what it would feel, I would feel uncomfortable, but probably very happy that I did it at the end. But I think I feel uncomfortable about putting a lot of emphasis on my own wants and needs. And I think that's very sad, but it's true. I'm very uncomfortable with that thought because it feels like I should be focused on others and others' needs.
Maybe it's one of those things that once you get into the habit of doing it, and maybe it's one thing at first, maybe it's 5 minutes in the morning where you're able to like make a sandwich that you can save for later. You can, you know, maybe it's starting with one thing instead of starting with, okay, here are 5 things I need to do for myself today. I'm going to do all of them. And, you know, like starting small and then getting in that routine and then maybe you will feel less guilty about it. If you start that way.
I always, like, I see these things where people talk about self-care and they're like, I got a shower today. And I'm like, no, that's hygiene. That's not self-care. Right. Like, where have we gotten for ourselves that we begin to, that we feel like because I took a shower today, I've cared for myself. Mm. No, I've cared for everybody by taking a shower.
Set the bar high.
let's explore maybe what self-care could be. Mm-hmm. Candace, I 100% identify. I think you and I are built really, really similarly because we always talk about like our perfectionism and stuff, right? And the helpers, both of us are helpers. And one of the things that I wrestled with this week is whatever is inside of us is going to spill over, right? Mm-hmm. But if I am so dry as a human being, there is nothing to spill over to anyone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being the best version of myself for anyone. I know, and same thing for you, Candace, and for you, Ricky, as well. We're helpers. Mm-hmm. We love to help people. I love to help people figure out their problems and see them start to move towards a place of freedom and lightness in their minds and in their souls. Mm-hmm. But when I'm not taking care of myself and I am in a place of dry because I'm not putting a priority on the things that make me well, I can't help anybody else. Mm-hmm. Right? There's nothing to spill over. And I think for me, my goal this week is to go, I need to find a way that I can put some kind of structure, or maybe I'm just overthinking it, mm-hmm. but I have to start taking better care of myself so that those thoughts aren't in my mind that are distracting me from being able to be the best version of Erin that I can be for other people, because I love living at that level of Erin where she's happy and Erin's happiness really comes from being able to love and help other people. But I'm not that best version of myself to be able to do that because I have too much of me in the way right now.
Well, you know what you did this week, Erin, that you shared with me and Ricky, and I think you shared it on some of your other social media, but you got your hair done. Yes. What was that this week? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is something. Go ahead.
Lovely.
Excuse me while I fluff my hair.
But that's an example to me of, in a, you know, of self-care. And when you look at, I'm a budgeter. Everybody knows I, for people who know me, I'm obsessed with budgeting. It's like my fun. Some people hate it. For me, I'm like, oh my gosh, goody, things to prioritize. But if you look at my self-care budget, which includes hair, nails, and some of this is pandemic because there's some fear there, you know, sometimes to go out and do things. But even outside of the pandemic, I'm not a person who spends a lot of money on clothes and on getting my hair done and on other things because I have somehow decided that that's selfish. And I'm like, other people need things. I don't have a problem buying it for other people. But for me, it's like this big anxiety point for me to even spend money on getting my hair done. And I shared with the ladies that I wanted to make a hair appointment because I'm tired of, I just want to be pampered a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm struggling with not only that costs a lot of money, you could just do it at home. And two, you know, they aren't really worth all that. Like, you know, it's not just, it's okay. I'll buy my son a new outfit.
If you do not go get yourself a hair appointment this week, I am going to be really mad at you.
And I know, but that's what I mean about, it's like a struggle. And other people would say, what do you mean? I have no problem buying stuff, you know, for myself or getting my hair done. But for me, that's going to be a big item for me to do.
Well, like there's also, you say you can do it at home yourself and it looks lovely. You do a great job. But that time where you're not physically like focusing in the mirror, straightening your hair, all that stuff is time where you can, I mean, I know some hairdressers are more talkative than others, but I like to go to the hairdresser. I'm not super talkative. So I'm just kind of like in my thoughts. I might play a game on my phone. Like, you know, you could talk too, and that could be time to yourself where you're just in conversation. You don't have to worry about anyone else in that moment. So that, like, I think that is self-care beyond what you do at home. Cause when you're doing your own hair, it's work. It's a lot of work.
But I need to challenge and actually do it. Cause I think maybe what I'm hearing you all say, and maybe for those who struggle like me, for whatever the reason, sometimes just doing it and pushing past, because you know it's a flawed thought. And that's something that when my therapist used to tell me, she was like, when you know the thought is flawed, you have to make a decision to push past what doesn't feel right to you, because what actually doesn't feel right is the right thing. And that is the harder thing to do, because we trust ourselves, but sometimes our thoughts are actually, it's the flaw. Pushing back that.
Do you know what I also like to think too, when I go do something like that, everybody's got skills and talents and the things that make them happy. And it makes my hairdresser really, really happy to be able to do someone's hair, to do my hair, right? To be able to look and she's creating art with it. And I can see her smile and she'll be like, girl, I am so proud. Like, she's like, look at how this piece falls. I just love the way this piece falls, right? I love that she gets that kind of excited about it. So it makes me feel good. I feel good because someone's just said something really nice to me. And I've made her feel good by showing up and also putting some money in her pocket too. Like, it's this really great circle. I've been trying to get myself out of the thought of my self-sufficiency. That everybody's got these skills. Everybody's got talents and they have things that they can do that I can't do or can't do as well. And when I go to someone else and invite them to do something, it just fills their tank in a way that it doesn't fill mine. But I get filled by seeing them do their best thing. And then I get the added surprise and blessing of them doing it for me.
And you get to walk on and you know, everybody does the hair flip when they get their hair done. What?
And you get the compliments.
I was so sad whatever night it was, because I was like, there's nobody to see me. There's nobody to see my hair. And like, I just want to go out with my bestie to dinner and not to go say, hey, look at me, but to like, you know, like I got my hair done. I feel good about myself. I think that was it. I even felt good about myself because we're not going out anywhere. We're not doing everything, right? It's just this incredible monotony of the same four walls. And how do we bust that monotony? I don't know how, but I'm gonna make that a goal this week. All right, goals, people. Goals this week is I'm gonna find a way to bust monotony.
Maybe get my hair done.
Okay, that's a good one. I think I'm going to snack less. Snacking has been attacking me, so no more snacking.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No more snacking. I'm going to harass Candace via text until she gets her hair appointment.
I'll be like, when did I say I was going to do that? I don't
understand. It's recorded, ma'am. It's recorded.
I know. That's the hard part with this. Now it's on. It's out into the universe. So now I have to do it.
It is. All right. Well, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear if any of what we've said makes sense to you, if you identify with it, or if you've even got some tips for us on how to attack some of these things. If you've been where we are and you've found yourself on the other side, pull us forward. Help us.
In the words of High School Musical, we're all in this together.
That's right. Listen, if you've got gifts and talent to help us get to the other side, we'll take it, okay?
Yes, we will.
And don't forget, you can also find us, of course, in our Facebook group. Just search Real WW Talk. We are on Instagram as well. Tips and tricks and food. Ricky's always got like awesome snacks. And if you need some motivation for exercise, she is killing it on her Peloton. And then Candace shared a recipe this week and it's all good stuff. So
yeah.
Anything anyone else wants to say before I wrap us?
No, other than I hope you all enjoy your week. Super Bowl's tomorrow for those who care about that. I'm going to be making some recipes. So I'll try to take some, you know, pictures and stuff of that, but I hope you all enjoy. Don't have too much crab dip, wings, whatever you're going to do.
Crab dip. All right. Well, have a great week and we will see you in the Real WW Talk Facebook group and on Instagram this week.
Bye.
Bye.